It's the Healthy Woman Show on WJR with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaidan, presented by Women's Excellence.
Dr. Zaidan, welcome back to WJR, your home away from the hospital, we like to say.
I'll tell you, I do so much in the hospital, it's nice to be here.
Infertility month, right? That's the topic of the show today, but there's so much going on at your office this month.
I'll tell you what, infertility is very passionate to me and to a lot of my patients, of course, but we also have a really great program. We're opening our mammography open house grand opening on Thursday, May 2nd. And we're going to have hereditary cancer risk assessments. We're going to have on-site providers and also on-site testing. So it's pretty important that people come in and see what we're doing. We're doing better for screening for women.
And we're going to talk about infertility this whole show. So stay with us here on WJR. So as you know, we have an infertility specialist here at WJR, and that's Carol K. Kowalczyk, and she hosts the other segment of the Healthy Woman Show on the second Tuesday of every month. Dr. Zaidan, I know she's a colleague of yours, a fellow colleague of yours, and so I found it interesting that you're also going to be talking about infertility this month, being, I don't know, do we say a routine OBGYN, obstetrics and gynecology? That's still part of your practice, right?
Well, healthcare, right, is a team approach. We're not just, solo providers. So Carol offers a great service, but people need that service before they get to Carol. And in some cases, we can handle things that will help them with their fertility even before they need to get IVF. Many people think if they haven't become pregnant, their only option is to go back to IVF. And that's not the case.
So you're really like the first line of defense, right? You have a patient come in, maybe you've been caring for her for a while, they decide to start a family. What are typically the things that she'll say to you that indicate to you maybe they're having trouble conceiving?
Well, the biggest thing, right, is when you're talking to a patient and, you know, it's a gratifying experience when you're talking to a patient and they have a problem and you know that there's a potential that you can solve it. And one of the things that they'll say is, you know, very sheepishly, in most cases, they'll say, you know, I think I'm going to maybe need some help with infertility. I might need a hand getting pregnant because I've been trying now for 2, 3, sometimes they'll say 5 years because they're embarrassed. They don't know how to solve the problem. And they're looking for me to give them some kind of positive solution to their problem.
So what is considered infertility? I mean, how long is the period of time where you say, oh, wow, this patient needs to have some additional assistance in this area?
Well, infertility is really 12 months of unprotected intercourse without a conception. So if you haven't gotten pregnant, you've been having intercourse for greater than a year, that's when we define it as infertility. Now, there may be other reasons that you're not getting pregnant that we know about, and that's provided that there's no other reasons that we've identified.
So what are some of the causes for infertility?
Well, I think, you know, one of the big things is their hormonal milieu. So when I say milieu, I mean how they are metabolically, how their body actually functions from a hormonal perspective. That's very, very important when it comes to infertility. People have to do what they need to do hormonally in the precise way in order to conceive. And many times, other conditions such as diabetes, thyroid disease, you know, other, you know, dietary regimens, maybe their workout patterns, all those can affect infertility.
A workout pattern can affect infertility.
Sure. Some people are, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say that there are some people out there that are control freaks, but, you know, there are. And some people work out so much that they drop their body weight or their body fat content so low that their body responds to that and doesn't produce hormones.
As it should, huh? How many times do you hear patients coming into you and saying that their first line of questioning in this area, like they were having trouble conceiving, and instead of coming to you, their doctor, the expert in the area, maybe they ask their mom, their girlfriend, their sister, why am I having a problem? Can I solve this some other way? Do you have to get through some of that sometimes?
Do I have to?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I have
I'm
to.
I'm sure you
because
hear that.
Because Dr. Mom and Dr. Aunt and
yes.
Dr. Sister and Dr. Yeah. Friend.
And Dr. Google, don't forget.
And Dr. Google, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, don't forget.
All of these are trusted resources. The problem is that there's a lot of conditions also that lead to infertility, such as endometriosis, adhesions, and other pelvic conditions, you know, maybe scar from a previous C-section. There's things that happen that can cause infertility, and it's my job to kind of, you know, talk to those women and say, hey, I know your friend or your mom or Dr. Google has told you this, but let me investigate this further.
Can we talk a little bit about endometriosis, too? Because I know we've talked about it before on the show, but this can be a real impediment to infertility or to becoming pregnant, right?
Absolutely.
Is it the number one thing?
I don't know that it's the number one thing. I don't have a statistic on that. But what I can tell you is it's prevalent. And that's what people need to know. Many, many people that have infertility have endometriosis, and it's definitely associated. And it's associated for a lot of different reasons. I think there's a big inflammatory response that goes on in the pelvis when people have endometriosis, and that might make the environment not conducive to actual conception. Remember, the sperm and the egg have to meet. And believe it or not, they don't meet where we think they meet. They meet at the end of the fallopian tube, which is in your belly. So that's where endometriosis is typically located. And that inflammatory response can oftentimes cause infertility. Then the other things are that endometriosis can cause adhesions, scar tissue in the pelvis. So sometimes I'll see that where somebody has scarred fallopian tubes or the ends of the fallopian tubes don't allow dye to go through, let alone sperm. And as a result of that, people don't get pregnant. When we're done surgically clearing up the endometriosis, we not only clear up the inflammatory condition, but we also clear up some of these adhesions. And many times when we go into the pelvis surgically, we look inside, we think that there's no way that this person's ever going to get pregnant. By the time we're done, we shoot some dye in through the uterus and the dye comes spilling out of the tubes. We call that a positive chromotubation or dye going through the tubes. And that's a really important thing that we do minimally invasively to help people get pregnant.
Your patients must be thrilled when you tell them that, right? That news that it was successful.
There's nothing greater than telling somebody, hey, we went in there and what you really want to know, and that's typically how I say it. I'll say, what you really want to know is that your tubes are open. But let me tell you a little bit more about what went on in there.
You are listening to the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. Dr. Jonathan Zaden, Women's Excellence, our expert on staff here at WJR to answer a lot of your questions about infertility. Dr. Zaden, how often is it the partner's problem? You know, you have to broach that topic, right? It could be the partner's problem.
That is the easiest part of my solution because I just have to send them for one test, right? I've got to do all these hormone levels and expensive tests and ultrasounds and sometimes surgical intervention for the female. But to find out whether it's a male, I just have to send them to an embarrassing episode at one of the offices to collect a specimen. And sometimes they let them collect those specimens at home. They test a semen analysis, and that will tell you what you need to know.
Also coming up on the Healthy Woman Show, coming up next, Dr. Zaden, we want to know more about robotic surgery. I know it's a big part of your practice, and we're going to hear more about that when we come back. As we continue here on the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR, Dr. Jonathan Zaden, of course, is always alongside the co-host of the show. But today we'd like to bring in Jessica Rossette, who is the patient outreach specialist at Women's Excellence. Jessica, again, we're always glad to have you on the show with us because you do such an important service at the center. And that is that you connect patients with Dr. Zaden. And I know you have a big presence on Facebook and Facebook Live.
Yeah, you know, it's great to be here and kind of educate people on more communication pieces that they can use to get in contact with our office. You know, a lot of people call and, you know, schedule and get questions answered that way, but we now offer a live chat on our website. We offer Facebook Messenger, and we also offer email. And a lot of patients have been utilizing those services recently to not only schedule appointments, but get quick answers to questions that they need.
We're busy, right? It's like it's nice to have a connection to the doctor that way.
Absolutely. And I know that she's wanted me to answer some questions about robotic surgery today. But isn't it true that you said that we've done like over 16,000 live chats?
Yeah, the live chat has been running for a little over a year. And the last time we looked at the data, it was, you know, a little over 16,000 chats that we've instantly serviced patients for. And it, I mean, it's a remarkable number, and it's a great service for people that are busy. You know, you can hop on our chat, you can get a response in most cases in less than a minute, and then be on with your day.
Well, let me try to decrease some of your live chats and answer some of the questions you've been roping me into here.
Yeah, you know, robotic surgery is a huge topic that comes up. And I think the thought of gynecologic surgery is scary and overwhelming for a lot of women, especially because, you know, women have families and jobs and they need to get back to real life as quickly as possible. And, you know, with robotic surgery, they can do that. You know, the machine has been around for almost 20 years. How many cases have you done?
I think, I think my last count about, 3 months ago or something was about 900. So I'm sure that we're probably close to almost 1,000 now, I would imagine, or pretty close to that.
And, you know, the biggest question I get is how quickly will they be back on their feet? You know, I'm sure that depends on the type of surgery, but it's really important to know.
Well, let me tell you, that's a question I get in the office all the time. So maybe if people are listening, I'll get that less in the office. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of people are familiar with laparoscopic surgery, right? Where we make small incisions, put a little camera, and then we're able to operate with our hands. Robotic surgery isn't a whole lot different from that. So the recovery is very similar. We make small incisions and we place little robot arms inside, and then we control those arms. The difference with the robot is that the actual instruments that we place, they're wristed instruments. And I know this is on the radio and you'd love to show somebody this. And I think that you should, load up something on our website that shows the difference between a laparoscopic instrument and a robotic instrument, so that people can go on www.womensexcellence.com. And see that. But I think the biggest difference from a technical perspective is these wristed instruments where you can do all kinds of different stuff. But the recovery, pretty much the same. Couple of days and you're back to doing what you would normally do. A week or so, you're probably feeling some discomfort and feeling bloated. You know, your abdomen will be a little distended, and for a woman, that's a big deal for sure. And I get that, and I'm not minimizing that at all. But if you need to go back to a desk job, I've got plenty of people that have gone back to their desk job the day after or 2 days after. And if you need to go back to a job where you're not lifting greater than 30 pounds, you can do that in a day or two afterwards. It's only those jobs where you're lifting something really heavy where, maybe we ask you for a couple more days after that, but certainly no longer than a week.
Dr. Zaden, what's the most common form of robotic surgery that you do?
I thought when I first started doing robotic surgery that I would do a lot of hysterectomies and prolapse repairs and things like that through the robot. But the truth of the matter is I do a lot of those cases through different minimally invasive methods where we just use one small incision. So a lot of my hysterectomies I do through what we call a single port, and we don't use the robot for that. But what we do the most of is endometriosis and scar tissue, adhesions, and pelvic pain. And the reason that I use it so much for that wristed instrument technique is absolutely paramount when I have to dissect in the pelvis and get out endometriosis. You know, endometriosis is this inflammatory condition. It causes things to stick together. It causes, the organs to be fused to an organ next to it. And sometimes fused to an organ next to it that's a vital organ that we can't damage, such as the bowel or the tube that goes from your kidney to your bladder. If I damage the bowel, that could be a big postoperative complication.
Serious.
Right? Serious.
Yeah.
And if I damage the tube that goes from the kidney to the bladder that's called the ureter, they could leak urine into their abdomen, which, again, another very difficult thing to repair. So these wristed instruments allow me to do that. So that's a long-winded answer for, the most of the cases that I do are resection of endometriosis, or what we call excision of endometriosis, serious lysis of adhesions procedures, and treatment of ovarian cysts, things of that nature.
What are the clear advantages to robotic surgery? Do you ever have patients say to you, "Oh, do I have to have that, or can I do it another way?" What are the advantages that you try to tell them about with this kind of surgery?
I'm amazed in a society that there's so much mistrust. I mean, all we hear about is mistrust. Our politicians, our teachers, everyone is mistrusted. I'm amazed. Not that many people actually question what I'm going to do. And when they do question it, it's usually reasonable. Sometimes they question whether we're not going to do robotics, whether or not we're going to do that robotic procedure, mainly because they have fear of a procedure and they're just questioning what we're going to do in general. But rarely do they question, why is he going to do it robotically? I think mostly they trust that I'm going to use the best treatment modality possible. And honestly, that makes it a lot easier for me because that, I'm just telling them, hey, this is the best approach for you. Quite frankly, the codes that we use when we bill their insurance and all those things, they're exactly the same. It doesn't matter whether we use straight stick laparoscopy instruments or if we use robotics. Right. I choose what's best for the patient because I believe it's every patient, every time, the best treatment.
And I imagine, sitting as a patient, when you're hearing the recommendation, you go with it, you're hearing what's best for you. Now, online, when we're promoting robotic surgery and we're trying to educate our patients about it and they see a picture of it, it's a very, very cool machine. And you talk about those wristed instruments that you're using. Is it safe? I mean, your hands are not physically in the patient. It's the robot.
Man, that's a great question, and I get that a lot, but the truth of the matter is the robot is very, very safe because if I move my head out of the console, instruments stop immediately. So if anybody touches the arms, the robot is designed to stop. So the engineers have put some fail-safes in it, and quite frankly, I have so much better visualization. I have 3D visualization of the abdomen. I don't have that with laparoscopy. With laparoscopy, it's a 2D. Approach, right? So I don't know how deep that instrument's really going in. I have to do that based on experience. Whereas with the robot, I'm looking at things much like I look at you while we're taping the show. I mean, it's very similar. I'm seeing everything in 3D and it's very, very precise. So, the nice thing about robotic surgery is I don't have a problem dissecting around the bowel or the ovary or the fallopian tube because the instruments are so precise and my movements are so precise.
Very quickly, Dr. Zaidan, as we close out this segment, I just want to ask you, the number of times a doctor has done this procedure is very important, right, to the end result. I mean, you would tell your patients to make sure that they go to somebody who has done this procedure many times.
Well, I'm not an expert in credentialing people for procedures, so I don't want to turn into a hospital administrator here. But clearly, I think everybody has some common sense, right? I mean, the people that do things a lot typically get better at them. I mean, we know that. I have a 7-year-old who plays baseball, and the more times he swings the bat, the better he gets at it. And it's the same with robotic surgery. I mean, I've done a lot of them, and I think that, I continue to get better even now. After doing, close to 1,000 cases, I feel like I'm willing to tackle the most difficult disease in cases where maybe I would have tackled it before but would have been more nervous about doing it. Now I feel more confident. And I think that will continue to evolve as the Da Vinci equipment improves, right? And they constantly are making technological improvements to that equipment.
You're listening to The Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. Dr. Zaidan, Jessica, when we come back, we're going to talk to a couple of your patients. Stay with us. So, Dr. Zaidan, we wanted to bring in one of your other patients today to talk a little bit about her experience with robotic surgery. I know you've had so much experience in this area, but there's nothing like talking to one of your patients. We want to welcome Katie Culver to WJR and to the Healthy Woman Show. Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm here with Dr. Zaidan today.
Welcome, Katie.
Thank you.
Yeah, Marie, one of the things that we have two patients today. One that we're going to talk about that, had bad endometriosis and our goal was to preserve her fertility. And then we have, Katie today, which I believe, Katie, you can tell your story.
Yeah, we'd love to hear, Katie. What brought you to Dr. Zaidan's office? Tell us a little bit about what life was like with your health problems and what brought you to Dr. Zaidan.
Well, first off, I was born with something called Hirschsprung's disease. And when I was about 18 months old, I had a large portion of my bowel removed, and I have had issues pretty much my whole life with all of that, and with having so many surgeries as a child, a lot of scar tissue and adhesions occurred.
Well, I think I remember the first time that we did surgical intervention, the anesthesiologist and the head nurse in the room saying, we're gonna try to get a camera in there, because her, you know, abdominal scarring was significant from the surgery.
How old were you, Katie, when this happened? I just would like our listeners to get some perspective on where you were in your life.
At this point, I was, about 24 years old.
Really young then, Dr. Zaden.
Absolutely. So, you know, obviously preservation of fertility and fertility at that point, you know, was an issue. Anytime we're seeing somebody that's that age, our number one goal is to, number one is to make sure we do no harm, right? So primum non nocere, first do no harm. So, you know, you can't solve the problem by creating another one. So we had to approach Katie in a way where we were going to preserve her fertility and make sure that she could function as a normal woman and in her reproductive capacity. But we also had the challenge that she had the symptoms that she described.
A lot of pain, Katie, right?
A lot of pain, yes.
And for a young woman trying to go to school and trying to have a social life, that just had to be crippling.
It really was. It was, you know, a couple, I would say I pretty much would have one good week out of the whole month.
And this is stuff that I see, Marie, all the time. I mean, you know, where people come to me and people don't understand, and I say this a lot to patients just to kind of give themselves credibility, is, you know, I look at them and I tell them, you know, the problem is that you look normal. So when somebody has, you know, have to take time off of work, or they have to, you know, they maybe miss family events or important social events, and nobody can really understand why, it's because they look normal. And I always tell them, if they had a big E on their forehead or a big D for disease, E for endometriosis, where it was, you know, emblazoned on their forehead that everyone could see, then people would say, oh my God, I feel so sorry for them. Look at what they have. But because they look normal, and Katie, if you saw Katie, is as normal looking as a person as you could get, and a, you know, just a beautiful person, both, you know, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, and you know, and nobody would give probably much credibility to the fact that she was having 3 out of every 4 weeks of pain.
I mean, that's, you know, you're talking about being robbed of your life, Dr. Zaden.
At 24.
Sure. At 24. Katie, did you know your whole life that you had this problem, or were you diagnosed close to when you met Dr. Zaden? Did you do the actual diagnosis of this disease?
Well, she had, you know, she had this surgery for this disease early on, and in her life, it was, you said 18 months, Katie?
At 18 months, yes.
So she had that, but nobody really knew what was going on with her from a gynecologic perspective until we started evaluating you. And I don't want to overspeak, Katie, because remember, I see a lot of patients every week, so...
Yeah, we want to definitely hear from you. So when you went to Dr. Zaden and you were told, okay, we're going to try with robotic surgery, what were some of the questions that you had?
Let me step in there, because I think our first surgery was laparoscopic. Am I correct?
It was.
Yeah, that's what I'm remembering, because I can remember that day. Like I said earlier, I can remember the nurse and everyone looking at your belly as we prepped you and saying, oh, you know, this is potential complication.
All right. So when you were told you had to have surgery, what went through your mind?
All I could think of was, this is something that's going to make me better, because I have had, you know, like he had said, I look like a normal person. I eat very healthy. I exercise. And when people would say, I can't believe that there's something wrong with you, or you're not feeling well, you know, you look great. It's more, you know, it's an internal thing. So all I could think about was, I was going to actually get to a point where I felt like a normal person.
Right. And after surgery, how did you feel, and are you feeling better today?
After surgery, I felt good. I had the robotic surgery was the second one, and then I had laparoscopic again after that. So it was a series of 3 surgeries that really pretty much put me to where I am now. I feel great. I really feel wonderful, and I have 3 beautiful children, which
is the mainstay,
the biggest miracle.
The mainstay of this was that her entire abdomen and pelvis was full of scar tissue. So our first laparoscopic surgery was really more diagnostic in nature. And then we decided, and we treated, but, you know, we could only do so much, again, with, you know, non-wristed instruments like we talked about earlier. But when we went in robotically, without the robot, Katie doesn't have three beautiful children.
I was just going to say that, like, that's the miracle here, right?
We dissected, you know, things out, and the anatomy was not normal. If you can imagine, you know, operating on spaghetti when somebody put glue in it and then trying to get individual noodles out of it, that's what we were doing. And the robot was relatively new at that time. And you know, our experience with it was newer. I felt that we were really safe with the robot. But I also felt that, you know, this was a complicated case. And we ended up dissecting out, and I will never forget the fact that we, after all the dissection, we were able to see blue dye come out. We weren't exactly sure of the anatomy of where it was coming through. And the reason of that is because there was so much scar, we were afraid to cut some of these areas that had been kind of put together on purpose by the pediatric surgeons, right, for blood supply when they did these bowel resections. This was an amazing case.
And I guess the bottom line is, Katie, you got what you wanted out of this, and that was the children and really good health, where you're not losing 3 weeks out of your a month out of your life. So what a great story, Katie. Thank you so much for sharing it with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It really was a whole amazing experience, and I couldn't be more grateful for Dr. Zaden.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, you've seen me with tears in my eyes in the office, and tears in my eyes again right now, just thinking about the fact that you have three children.
Yeah, that's really a wonderful part of the story. Thank you, Katie, for talking with us today. And Dr. Zaden, coming up, we're going to have another one of your patients to talk to.
Well, the patient I was referring to earlier, Amber Elling, is coming on. And what's great about Amber is that not only was she a patient, you'll hear a lot about that over the next, you know, few minutes, but she's also a patient that decided to stick with us at Women's Excellence, and she's going to actually be our, you know, resident nurse practitioner in our Lapeer office. And, you know, to have somebody who was a patient, have all the experiences of being a patient, and then come into our newest location in Lapeer, right off of Main Street, right when you get off of 69 as you come up M24 going into Lapeer, you can't miss our office, Women's Excellence. And Amber's going to be a big part of that opening.
Exciting times and a new office opening.
Amazing that we're able to do it, number one, and amazing that we're going to be able to staff it with somebody who has the kind of empathy that I think characterizes Women's Excellence.
And so it's womensexcellence.com if people want to get a hold of you online, and that's where to go, womensexcellence.com. Dr. Zaden, very quickly, the offices are located where, so people know, geographically?
Boy, we have Lake Orion, Clarkston, West Bloomfield, Rochester, Birmingham, Royal Oak.
Thank you, Dr. Zaden. The Healthy Woman Show continues here on WJR. Stay with us. Dr. Zaden, I know you're all about the patients in your office, and you love having to, you love talking about your patients, and of course you love having them on the air with us, and we want to welcome in Amber Elling. So you have some history with Amber. Can you tell us, I know you had a robotic surgery. What sort of surgery, what brought you to Dr. Zaden?
I came to Dr. Zaden about 10 years ago. After I had been with another physician who said I had endometriosis, and he did a couple surgeries and tried a couple medications, and they just weren't working. I actually was working at a clothing store and had a customer refer me to Dr. Zaden. I met Dr. Zaden, and 10 years later, here we are. I've had 4 surgeries with Dr. Zaden, the last 2 being robotic, and I'm completely pain-free between hormonal contraceptives and the surgeries. They've helped make my life so much better. Then I started going back to school for women's health nurse practitioner and talked with him, and I've been doing clinicals with his office staff, and now here we are.
Pretty amazing. We started, you know, I can remember, Marie, we started with Amber and we diagnosed her laparoscopically. When was that first? Do you remember exactly when that first surgery was?
I would say probably 2008 or 9.
Right. And I think we were just starting robotics at that time, and we were kind of choosing who we were going to see laparoscopically and who we were going to do robotically. And then our treatment of her over time was pretty consistent in that when we used to do laparoscopic surgery, you would have to reoperate people frequently because of recurrence. And then when we got to, you know, the robotic platform, I mean, we've gotten much better with excision of disease and so on and so forth, which is why, you know, Amber's pain-free now. You know, so it's pretty amazing how we've gotten to that point. And, you know, Amber is one of those patients that I'm very, very proud of, you know, one of very many that we do, in that we evolved as clinicians. So I'm not doing the same thing that I did in residency anymore. I'm doing things much more technical, but the outcome, right? It's all about outcomes, and the outcomes are better with what we're doing.
Did you tell us a little bit about what your symptoms were before you had the surgery and what your life was like? I know that endometriosis really can change someone's life.
Oh, absolutely.
So talk a little bit about that.
Prior to the surgery, I was in pain, whether it was my menstrual cycle or not, constant bloating, many symptoms, abdominal pain, pain with intercourse, pain with just going to the bathroom. Then seeing him, we did that. I mean, we were doing surgery almost every year, I felt like, for a span of time. And then the last robotic surgery has been over 2 years ago now. And I've been completely pain-free that entire time.
So, Dr. Zaden, some of your patients you have to continue with treatment, continue with robotic surgery in order to really bring them to a state of good health.
Well, that's what I was getting at earlier, is that, you know, back in the day, I should say, and now that I'm getting older. Right?
You can say that now.
Yeah, I guess I could say that. You know, we really, you know, we blunted or we kind of thwarted disease. So if somebody had endometriosis, we cauterized it and we tried to damage it. But there was tissue underneath what we damaged, and there was organs underneath what we damaged. So we couldn't damage it in every area.
Right.
As successful as we wanted to, and as deeply as we might have wanted to. And so we used a lot of different thermal methods. We used laparoscopic cauterization. We used laser, which is just an application of heat to damage tissue. So what Amber, you know, exhibits is the fact that we have a patient that had the laparoscopic approaches, and then we got better with the robot, and finally we got to the point where we started to get to excise all disease. And that's why she's now a couple of years pain-free and not looking at another interval scope. So, you know, these kinds of cases now are changing. So, you know, what we used to do as maintenance, almost endometriosis surgical therapy, is now surgical therapy that ends the problem. So, you know, one or two surgeries and you're pretty much done for a significant amount of time.
Were you able to go right back to work, or what was your recovery time? I think, again, we talked just the last segment about people asking that question of the staff at the Women's Excellence. You know, how long am I going to be down? How much pain am I going to have afterwards?
Yeah, I was, at the time, I was just finishing nursing school. So I think it was about 3 to 4 weeks before I could really get back into doing my full job.
100%,
yeah.
Right?
Yep. But I think 2 weeks was our biggest downtime, and then 100%
were,
I was.
Yeah, then you were right back on mm-hmm. your feet again.
Yep.
And so your outlook for the future, now that you seem to have this problem under control for yourself.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I no longer day by day. It's just until hopefully forever.
Well, the beauty of this is that, you know, we took somebody that had a chronic condition and we've basically eradicated it. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, 5, 10 years, we don't know that. And I don't want to take credit for something that we can't take credit for. But we, you know, it could recur, but the chances of recurrence are much less. So I think that, you know, what we've done is we've taken this disease process that lingered and was just this constant, you know, burden on somebody's life, and we've now made it so that they have a normal life. And you know, that's what everything is about, you know, at Women's Excellence, is about quality of life. And the beauty of having Amber on the show today, Marie, and Jessica too, who's here, is that when we started this, Amber began to think about going into nursing school, as you heard her say. And now she's going to complete her women's health nurse practitioner certificate. So she's done all of her advanced training. And she's agreed to hire on at Women's Excellence. And I can't think of any more gratifying day than today as a result of that. Because what we're going to offer to patients now is somebody who has that empathetic view and went through it not only as a woman, as a person, but also as a Women's Excellence patient. And so she understands all the goods, the bads, and the indifference, all the communication issues, and all the things that, you know, Jessica, you deal with, and then all the things that, you know, are good about our company, and the things that have changed over the years. And so I'm really excited to have her as.
It's really amazing, Amber, that this kind of influenced your life, your career choice was that this whole experience. And that you wanted to dedicate your life to women's health.
Yeah, it absolutely did between this. And then my mom had the disease and both my grandmas. So it's a big, lots of factors played into making this decision.
And the people that are going to benefit from that are the patients. And, you know, that's the number one driver of Women's Excellence, right? Is to make sure that our patients, you know, get the best care. And, you know, there's a lot of things involved in, you know, running and building a practice to get to the patient. And now we've actually, you know, gone full circle. To me, this is like the circle of life, and we're coming back. And that, you know, we have the administrative burdens, the insurance burdens, the access burdens, the hospital where they can do their surgery, whether they can get a pre-authorization, whether or not the medication's covered, whether they can afford the medications, whether or not, you know, they can, you know, have the time to do the procedure, time off work, all of those things. But what it's really about is patients and giving them a quality service. And now, you know, to have somebody that we've actually treated that's actually going to now go out and treat our Women's Excellence patient family, amazing.
We want to thank you so much for being with us today, Amber. You always, you know, we love to talk to patients because they really bring the real touch, the real human touch to your story, Dr. Zaden, about how you help women really get their lives back.
It's what we do.
We want to remind our listeners, womensexcellence.com. We talked earlier about the Facebook experience with your practice and also the Facebook Live experience.
And live chat.
And live chat that you have. 16,000, Dr. Zaden.
I couldn't believe that number. When I heard it, I was like, 16,000 people are in live chat. Goes by pretty fast.
I love that you do that outreach, that technical outreach, because that's where people are today. That's where your patients are at.
If we're going to identify with patients, we got to identify with the patients and how they want to identify with us.
Our thanks to you, Dr. Zaden, today. We'll see everybody again next month.
The Healthy Woman Show with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaden has been presented by Women's Excellence.